We're beginning Sefer Shemos this week in Yetzer Hashem, and I'd like to make the point that the switch from Sefer Bereshis to Sefer Shemos is an unbelievably significant switch. And I look, it's all Torah, and it's difficult to know what's sayable, what's not sayable, but it seems to me that the switch from Sefer Bereshis to Sefer Shemos is greater than the switch from any of the other Sforim from one to the next. What's so great about the switch? I'm going to start with touching up two psukim, and then we'll get to the Shitta of the Gon, which everything is going to come together. Now, I'm first quoting to you a pasuk from Vayigash, that is chapter Mem Vov, pasuk Ches. Listen carefully. Ve'ele Shemos b'nei Yisrael, haboim Mitzrayimo, Yaakov uvonav. Esnachto. B'cho Yaakov Reuven. Again. Ve'ele Shemos b'nei Yisrael, haboim Mitzrayimo, Yaakov uvonav. Esnachto. B'cho Yaakov Reuven. Okay. That is what the pasuk says in Vayigash, and it's going to tell us now all the names of the Shivim Nefesh in Sefer Bereshis. Now, why did I stress the Esnachto in Uvonov? Because you will have noticed that this posuk is pretty similar to the opening posuk of Sefer Shemos, and it is in fact pretty similar, but euch gewalt, how different it is. It's Meure in der Welt, what's happening over here. And it can set us into a really a tiefere Havana of what is really going on in the Torah. Let's have a look at the pasuk over here in Shemos. Ve'ele Shemos b'nei Yisrael haboim Mitzrayimo esnachta. Es Yaakov ish uveso bo. Again, I'm going to read the Vayigash pasuk. Again. The Elish Mos b'nei Yisrael haboim Mitzrayim or Yaakov uvonav, es nachta, b'cho Yaakov Reuven. Now here, the Elish Mos b'nei Yisrael haboim Mitzrayim or es nachta, es Yaakov ishu ve'sobo. Now these psukim sound pretty similar, but once I stressed the es nachta, it really, it's obvious that they're saying two very, very, very different things. Let's take the pasuk in Vayigash. Ve'ele Shemos b'nei Yisrael haboim Mitzrayimo Yaakov uvonav. And then on there there's an esnachta, which is a long pause. Now, what does it say? These are the names of the b'nei Yisrael who came to Mitzrayim in the group called Yaakov uvonav. Again, Ve'ele Shemos b'nei Yisrael haboim Mitzrayimo, Yaakov uvonav, right? They were coming to Mitzrayim as a group which we're defining as Yaakov uvonav, Yaakov's family. Ve'ele Shemos b'nei Yisrael haboim Mitzrayimo, Yaakov uvonav. Who came to Mitzrayim? Yaakov and his family. And you want to know the names? B'chor Yaakov, Reuven, and so on. So we're introduced over here that the people who are going to Mitzrayim, like what does it say on the visa? On the visa it says, Yaakov Uvonav. Yeah, this is Yaakov and his children. Family Yaakov is coming to Mitzrayim. I'll read it again. Ve'ele Shemos b'nei Yisrael haboim Mitzrayim o Yaakov Uvonav. B'chor Yaakov. In Shemos, Ve'ele Shemos b'nei Yisrael haboim Mitzrayim o Es nachto. This is where the stop is. Ele Shemos b'nei Yisrael haboim Mitzrayimo. Es Yaakov ish uveso bo. What's that phrase saying? It's saying that each of these people with his family, ish uveso bo, how did they come to Mitzrayim? Es Yaakov, with Yaakov. Now that's a totally different pasuk. Those esnachtos over here make an unbelievable difference. In the pasuk in Vayigash, you have just the information that the family of Yaakov Avinu was coming to Mitzrayim. Ve'ele shmos ben Yisrael aboy Mitzrayim or Yaakov uvanav, family Yaakov. And you want to know their names? B'chor Yaakov Reuven. Over here it says something completely different. I'm going to give you the names of the B'nai Yisrael who came to Mitzrayim. But before I give you their names, I want to tell you something. Es Yaakov, Ishu Ve'sobo. Each of these people had his own family, as we're going to see in the names, because they all had children and actually grandchildren. I don't know exactly the numbers, right? But they were heads of families, the Shvatim, the 12 sons. Yeah. And nevertheless, they came Es Yaakov, with Yaakov. It's Meirudik. It's Meirudik, 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 Meirudik. How these two psukim, by the placement of one of the trap symbols, namely the Esnachta, made a completely different thing. Now, what is the difference between the two? Why does the Pasuk in Vayigash tell us about the Yaakov family, right? That these are the people, this is the group, that the visa was issued, Yaakov and his family. Right, and they went to Mitzrayim. And then over here it tells us something completely different. I'm going to tell you the names of the B'nai Yisrael who came to Mitzrayim. And I want you to know that although each of these people, that means the main people, the fathers, the Shvot, the 12 sons of Yaakov, yeah, so although they were Ishu Besoy, but they came Es Yaakov. They subordinated themselves to Yaakov. Now, that Ace, I think I may have mentioned it before. If not, if yes, then I have to mention it again now. Because if you go to Vayigash again, where was that Posuk? That was Memvov Posuk Ches. So move forward to Posuk Vov. Vov Zayin Ches, right? So it says, Vayikru es miknehem ves luchusham asher gokoshu be'eretz Kanaan, Vayavol Mitzrayimo, Yaakov v'chol zaro ito. Bonov v'nei bonov ito. B'nosov v'nos bonov v'chol zaro hevi ito. Mitzrayim. Three times in two psukim. Ito, 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 ito. What does it all mean? The teretz is that the Es Yaakov, which we have in our Shemos posuk, is avada gevis a take on all those itos. Let's read the posuk again. Stop. Es Yaakov, Ishu Vesobo. The Ishu Veso, those were separate families, but they all came ito, Es Yaakov. They came with Yaakov. And that is what the Pasuk stresses over here three times in two psukim. Vayikru es mikneim ves luchushom asher rochoshu be'eretz Kanaan. Vayovaru Mitzrayimo Yaakov v'chol zaro ito. Bonov v'nei bonov ito. V'nosov v'nos bonov v'chol zaro hevi ito. Mitzrayim. That's interesting, those itos. Yeah? And it's taken up over here in the Es Yaakov. But what follows those two psukim in Vayigash? Ve'ele shmos b'nei Yisrael aboy Mitzrayim or Yaakov v'vonov. So really, there's, if you take these two psukim and then compare them to the third posuk, you have ke'ilu like a little, like a stira. The first two psukim, they stress the ito, 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 that it was all with him. And then in the next posuk, it just says, look, this was Yaakov's family. Yaakov Uvonov. Doesn't say anything about Es Yaakov. So, I mean, the pshat is probably, well, let's see. Let's see what we can say over here. And let's try and understand why the psukim are so dissimilar while being so similar. In other words, that it's kimat, the same words, the same psukim, and nevertheless they're telling us something that is completely different. In Bereshis, you're telling me it's Yaakov's family who went to Mitzrayim, and here it's telling us that these individual families subordinated themselves to Yaakov. Now, I said before that we're going to mention a Gaon. Now, that's a shtickle, and I don't want to get into too many protim over here. There's a machloikas between the Ramban and the Gaon, how to read the posuk in Bereshis. In Bereshis, that's in Perek Hei in Bereshis, in the Seder Bereshis. Yeah. So, Ze Sefer Toldos Odom, B'yoyim B'ro Elokim Odom B'tmus Elokim Oso Oso. So the Torah is telling us over here, I'm going to tell you, Ze Sefer Toldos Odom. I'm going to teach you a Sefer of the history of mankind. B'yoyim B'ro Elokim Odom B'tmus Elokim Oso Oso, and so on and so forth. Now, what is this posuk telling us? And what is the translation of the word Sefer? Ze, it's always like pointing with your finger, ki'ilu. This thing which is in front of you, yeah? This thing which is in front of you is a Sefer of Toldos Adam. And that's what it is. Zog der Heilige Ramban. What does it mean, Ze Sefer Toldos Adam? What Sefer are we talking about? So the Ramban says, we're talking about the whole Torah. The whole Torah is a Sefer Toldos Adam. Now that's a big zog, and probably somebody could give you 25 shiurim on that, and maybe 2,500 shiurim on that. How do you touch the Torah as a human history? Whatever it means, I mean, the Ramban does not go into details over here, and as far as I've never come across anywhere where he does go into details, but it doesn't mean it doesn't exist. But that's what he says, that the Torah is a Sefer Toldos Adam. The Gaon learns differently in the Aderes Eliyahu. Just one line in the Gaon. I wanted to bring it in, I don't have it in front of me now. But what he says is, that Ze Sefer Toldos Adam is Sefer Bereshis. Not like the Ramban learns that Sefer in this context is the Torah. No, it's not the Torah. It's Ze Sefer Toldos Adam is Bereshis. What's it saying? It's saying like this, that Sefer Bereshis, Rabbi Sayyid, these are very, very, very Yesodistic Zachen, that Sefer Bereshis, the whole of mankind is introduced as Toldos Adam. Sefer Bereshis deals with the descendants of Adam HaRishon. And all of mankind, to the extent that it is mentioned in Sefer Bereshis, is introduced as Toldos of Adam. And La'afuki Sefer Shemos, Eile Shemos B'nei Yisrael HaBoim Mitzrayim. We, the Klal Yisrael, changes from being Toldos Adam to being Klal Yisrael, to being a nation of Yisrael. Now that's a big, 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 big zog. That is the difference in the kimat equal psukim. See, and that is, I think, the explanation of the changes of the wording of the two psukim. You see, in Vayigash, so we're still talking about Toldos Adam. That's what we're talking about. All right, so as Toldos Adam, so all the people are equal. There is no Jewish nation, and so what comes to Mitzrayim, according to a Bereshis narrator, who explains what happened later on. Right, so Yaakov's family. Yaakov is going with all his children and grandchildren, whatever, if you take a grandfather and you add children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren, what do you have? You have a family. Yeah, and that is Toldos Yaakov. Yeah. I lost the posse again, where all the itos are. But Lemaisa, that's what it boils down to. Here, one second. Yeah, okay, I can't find it. We've read it enough times. Yeah, so that's why in Sefer Bereishis, we're not telling, or we are not being told that chiddush which Sefer Shemos is telling us. That's not being told to us. In Sefer Shemos, we're talking about Bnei Yisrael. Let's go to Shemos. Ve'ele Shemos Bnei Yisrael haboim Mitzrayim. Es Yaakov ish uveso bo. It's telling us something completely different. We're now coming to the Shemos of Bnei Yisrael. The names that we're going to have over here now is the names of the Shvatim over here, and only the names of the Shvatim, not of the Shivim Nefesh. They are told in Bereishis, but not over here. So it's the Bnei Yaakov, the Bnei Yisrael, who are the subject of the information over here, which we are given at the beginning of Shemos. Ve'ele Shemos Bnei Yisrael. There is such an entity which is called Bnei Yisrael. It's called a nation of Israel who are coming to Mitzrayim together with Yaakov, subordinate to Yaakov. That means the nation of Klal Yisrael functions only in a capacity of children of Yaakov Avinu. And I'll tell you how that is expressed. Because Es Yaakov Ishu Vesabo, although they were each a complete family in their own right, but they came Es Yaakov. Now there are big Yesidus over here of what Klal Yisrael is, the relationship of Yaakov to the Shvatim and of the Shvatim to Yaakov. And all of that is locked, ke'ilu, in the Vov. That's this the Ramban. If you look at the Ramban, in the first Ramban in Shemos, he makes a big issue of the Ve'ele Shemos Bnei Yisrael Haboim Mitzrayim. That this is a continuation of Bereishis. Ve'ele Shemos Bnei Yisrael Haboim Mitzrayim. I'm going to tell you now something that means a continuation of what I started telling you in Sefer Bereishis. In Sefer Bereishis, I started telling you that the Yaakov family decided to pick themselves up and move from Eretz Canaan to Eretz Mitzrayim. And here I'm telling you something much more yesidistic. In that move was created a new entity which history had never known about, namely that there is such a thing as Klal Yisrael. And the nature of that Klal Yisrael is a nation made up of 12 Shvatim. We'll come to that in a different Shiur, Yetzer Hashem, which is made up in 12 Shvatim, who function not as independent tribes, but as Es Yaakov, that they see themselves only in a context of being subordinate to Yaakov. It's more than the world. Now, I hope in Yetzer Hashem, maybe you never know what happens with the subsequent Shiurim, where I'll be going, but I'd really like to take this all a little further. In the meantime, I want to point out one very, very interesting thing over here about these Shemos. Here, there's a Medrash, Shmos Rabbah 1:3. I'll read that to you, and let's take it very, very carefully. It says like this. Ve'ele Shemos Bnei Yisrael Haboim Mitzrayim Yaakov Uvonov Ishu Ve'Sobo. That's on the Posuk in Vayigash. I don't think that for this it makes a difference, but it's actually quoting the Posuk in Vayigash. Now, Shekulim Hein Yisrael Kitzvo HaShomayim, that the Yidden are shokel, that they are at the same level as the stars of the heaven, the Tzvor Shomayim, the planets, the stars, whatever these things are. How do I know that they're shkulim? Nema kan shemos, v'nema b'kachovim shemos, shenema, moine mispa l'kachovim, l'chulam shemos yikro. Oh, so you see that the Ribbono Shel Olam calls the stars shemos, gives them shemos. Af HaKadosh Baruch Hu, k'shiyodu Yisroel Mitzrayim, monom misporam, kamo hoyo, ulefi shehem meshulim lekochovim, Korosh Shemos Lekulam Hador Dechsev Ve'ele Shemos B'nei Yisrael. Ve'ele Shemos B'nei Yisrael. Now, isn't that funny? What are the Chazal saying? The Chazal is saying that it says Shemos over here, and it says Shemos by Kerchovim. That shows that Yidden, the 12 sons of Yaakov, are like Kerchovim. Right? And just like the Kerchovim were given names, Ulefi Shehem Meshulim LeKerchovim, Koro Shemos LeKulam. Hador Dechsev Ve'ele Shemos B'nei Yisrael. Isn't that funny? I mean, who gave the names to the Shvatim? We learned in Vayeshev, right? So, not in Vayeshev, in Vayetze, right? We know how the Shvatim got their names. All the mothers gave them names. Reuven, Kiro Hashem, Ba'ani, Shimon, Kishoma Hashem. So what does it mean, that the Ribbono Shel gave them names? So here he mentions the names, but it's not he who gave them. By the Kerchovim, it's the Ribbono Shel who gave the names. Moine Mitzvah LeKerchovim LeChulam Shemos Yikro. Af HaKadosh Baruch Hu K'shiyod Yisrael Mitzrayim Mono Misporam Kamo Hoyo Olefi Shem Meshulim LeKerchovim Koro Shemos LeKulam. Now what does that mean? That he was Koro Shemos. These were the names which the Emois had given them. Now, as I'm saying this, it sort of occurs to me that maybe I was missing something till now. Who knows? Could be that the pshat is like this. The mother's names, I don't know, this is something new, I haven't thought about it, and I shouldn't be saying it without thinking it through, but I'm in the middle of saying and I haven't thought it through. But this is what I think maybe is being said over here, and that is that it's called that Yaakov is giving them the names because in Bereshis, according to the Gaon, when we're talking about the family, and they are the descendants of Adam HaRishon. So, we're not talking about a nation. We're talking about a family. So who gives the names in the family? Okay, in Yaakov's family, it was the women who gave the names. Let's say, yeah? But now we are coming to us as Bnei Yisrael. They're coming to us as a new nation, something that appeared now in Klal Yisrael and hadn't been heard before. No. So who says that the same names still apply? So, telling us that Yaakov called them by the same names. In other words, that Yaakov over here, in his first act that is recorded in the Torah as the Av of the Am Yisrael, of the Bnei, they are the Bnei Yisrael. So he confirmed the names that the mothers had given and said, okay, that those should be his names. But the Seder is still strange. Why did he give them those names? Because they're Nimshel to the Kerchovim. And if they're Nimshel to the Kerchovim, so they ought to have names just like the Kerchovim have names. What does that mean, that the Kerchovim have names? Here, I wrote it down here once. Yeah, this is a paragraph which I wrote in one of the books, which maybe I'll be publishing at some time. Here we go. What precisely does it mean when the Pasuk tells us that L'chulam Shemos Yikro, the Kerchovim? The Ribbono Shel Olam assigned names to all the stars. How could that be? According to my encyclopedia, our neighborhood, the Milky Way, in which Earth makes its home, contains billions of stars. As galaxies go, it seems not to be particularly large, but still for light to travel from one end to the other end, brackets, at approximately 186,000 miles per second, that is the speed of light. That means if you want to crisscross the Milky Way, where Earth is situated among its billions of stars, and you want to go from one end to the other, yeah, would take 100,000 years. That means if you're in one end of the Milky Way and you want to go to the other end of the Milky Way, and you're traveling at a speed of 186,000 miles per second, it'll take you 100,000 years to get there. Now that is a lot of names and a lot of stars and a lot of distance, right? And a lot of seconds. What does it all mean? And what do names have to do with stars? Like what the stars talk to each other and they say, "Hey, uncle." I mean, what's going on? What does it mean that the stars have names and that the Rebbeinu Shem gives them names? So I don't know what it really means, but I'll tell you what I suspect it may mean. I've mentioned before in this shiurim, I think, and Bichlal, if we're learning Shemos and we'll see a little bit what's going on, it's a good zach to know that the Ibn Ezra has this big yesod that the word shame and the word sham, it's exactly the same letters, shin mem, except that the nikud is in one is with the tzeira and another one is with the komatz, but otherwise they're the same words. So he says that they are really related very much to each other, because the shame, the name which we give, when we give somebody a name, we are really defining his position. That is what a name does. And the moshel that he gives is, if I'm talking to my friend and we're talking about Reuven, and I'm saying, "Oh, Reuven is a chacham." Yeah? No, that doesn't mean anything. Reuven is a name, and that name is not a chacham. So what do I mean when I say Reuven is a chacham? We'll say that Reuven is an ish chacham, but we leave out the word ish. Why do we leave out the word ish? Because that is the function of shamness. The shame is really a sham. When I say somebody's name, I am conjuring him up in front of us. It's now ke'ilu, the person who carries the name of Reuven is now standing in front of us. And when I say Reuven is a chacham, so I'm ke'ilu pointing to this man who's standing there. He's not really standing there, but in our consciousness, it looks as though he's standing there. That is the relationship of shame and sham. So it's too long to go into now, but there are many instances where the Torah, well, Chazal especially, use shame not as a name, but as a category, as something. Loimin Hashem Huze. The Chazal made a list of certain things that had a common factor. And so the Gemara came along and said, "Why didn't you count X, Y, Z? That also belongs in that list." So they say, "No, Loimin Hashem Huze." Yeah, we're not talking about any names. It says it doesn't have the right qualities to be listed in that mixture. So the word is like this, that a shame is really a defining nature of the thing that carries that name. You could say that the shame is a shamness in defining the unit which you're talking about. Very, very interesting. If any of you, I don't know whether you can get them in a store nowadays, there's something called, in the Ibn Ezra, that I happen to have it. It's a four-volume thing, and one of the svarim in there is Sefer Hashem. There it talks about the shemus of the Rebbeinu Shlalom. But in the course of talking about the Rebbeinu Shlalom, the shemus of the Rebbeinu Shlalom, he makes this definition of shame, that shame, which is name, usually, is like a shamness. It defines the thing. Very important, Zach, and it makes a lot of difference to a lot of things. So we were asking, what does it mean that the Rebbeinu Shalom is koire shemais to the koichovim? So what are they going to do with their names? They don't talk to each other. So what does it mean? I think that in that context, shame is used as a shamness. The Chulam Shemos Yikro doesn't mean that there's a star up there called Yankel and another star called Beryl. It doesn't mean that. It doesn't make sense to call stars by names. But the Chulam Shemos Yikro means that he informs them, whatever it means when you're talking to the star, right, of what their place is in the all over, picture, I can't think of the word, of the world. Yeah, there's a huge world out there, and there's a Milky Way which it takes 100,000 years to cross at the speed of light, and there are billions of those galaxies, and it's a really, really, really big place. Well, every star in that hugeness has a name, meaning is clearly defined, I guess through gravity or whatever the koichos are, which I don't know, but that's what it is. L'chulam shemas yikro. That being so, and I think it is so, so that being so, what did I say? Yeah, the Torah gives us the names of the Shvotim because the Koichovim had names. It's much more logical for the people to have names than the stars to have names. So why tell us that because the stars have names, the people have names? Teretz is, if I'm right, I don't know whether I'm right, but if I am right, so then what's being said is not that the stars have names. There's no Yankels and there's no Berels. What is there? There is the clearly defined function of each of the billions and billions and billions and billions and billions and billions of stars. Each one has its clearly defined nature. Listen, I'm not an astronomer, but I understand that that's more or less how it works. And if there's Tucker, suddenly something gets pushed out of its... Well, I don't know. You all, if you're listening to this, you're understanding. I have no idea how it really works. But I think that that is what is being said. And I want to finish now, but I want to... I think that I mentioned this Gemara also before. And but I didn't have a voice what was really being said. But now, in the context of what we've been talking now, I think I understand this now much better than I did before. This is happening in Shabbos. Where is it? 1 second. Oh, here we are. Tzadik Ches Omid Beis. Tone Rabbonan, Shabbos. Nirin Karsen Belulois Kichoichovim Berokia. Wow. The Gemara says, it's one line of Gemara. There's no introduction to it. There's no summing up. Memo, Tone Rabbonan, Nirin Karsen Belulois Kichoichovim Berokia. What's it talking about? It's talking about in the Mishkan. So we know that the Mishkan, the Yerias were stitched together in such a way that there were two huge Yerias, and they met at a certain point of the Mishkan, and they were joined to each other by the krosim, the hooks which joined the circle, whatever it is, how they were joined together, and they were made out of gold, these hooks, the krosim. So Chazal is saying that if you were standing under the point where these two Urias, or collection of Urias, were joined to each other with the Krosim, and the Krosim were gold, so if you looked up, I guess at night, and looked up, so those golden hooks, they appeared as though they were stars. Tone Rabbona, V'nirin Krosim Belulois, now, what's that got to do with the price of beans? What? Who cares? Like, why did the Gemara find it necessary to tell us that if you stood at that particular point in the Mishkan, yeah, which itself, I mean, who are we talking about? We're talking about the Kohanim. They're doing a void, achresnes, yeah? So who's standing underneath? But theoretically, if somebody was standing underneath those krosim and looking upwards, and the sky is dark, I guess, so then these krosim look like sparkling stars against the background of the black sky. So what? Zog de Heilige Maral. I'm going to read to you the Maral over here. Please listen carefully. It's very, very interesting. Nirin Lulois HaMishkan. Sagt der Dover Seh Bianu Bemokam Acha. Mishum Shemase Mishkan. Dich Sev. Vayehi Bayom HaShmini. Havaye Bifnei Atzma. Doima El Havaye Soilam. The Mishkan coming into being is similar to the world being created. V'havaye zois shel mishkan l'maylo min havaye so'ilam. The mishkan was more holy than the universe. Ki l'kachsiv b'mishkan b'yom hashmini, shehu l'malo mimase b'reishas, shehoyo b'shivas yomim. U'klal omru zal b'medrash, shokul mase mishkan k'moy mase shomayim v'oretz. Ksiv hocho v'yhi b'yom hashmini, u'ksiv hosam v'yera v'yhi v'yka. Klala, well, yeah, it was 7 days. Klala dover, masse mishkan havaya bifnei atzma, lemalo me havayas masse bereshes, misyaches loy, doimeloy, gmoshe bianu bepashes shmini. Vese mash omru kan nirim lulois be mishkan techoichovim berokia, rotzeloyma ki doime masse mishkan el masse shomayim vores. So the Rebbein Shem wanted us to know that the Mishkan is another universe. And how does he let us know that? By putting something in the Mishkan which reminds us of the stars in the sky. I mean, come on, what does that mean? Right, there are other things in this universe except stars. I mean, if you want to tell us that the Mishkan is Choshev, why choose Dafka the stars? I think that the Mishkan is teaching us what we've learned just now, that the stars, the chulam shemos yikro, billions and billions and billions of stars, right? And each one is metzumtzum in its own mahalach, is doing what it's supposed to be doing, and interacting with all the other stars the way it's supposed to be interacting. And what the Ribbono Shel Olam wanted us to hear when we're in the Mishkan, the Ribbono Shel Olam wanted us to hear, kinderlach, that is who you are also. Each of you also have a planned existence. You are to interact in certain ways with certain people under certain circumstances. That is how you are supposed to interact. And that is what's going on over here. Yetz Hashem, maybe next week I would like to continue a little bit about this. But in the meantime, we see what's happening over here, the change from Sefer Bereshis to Sefer Shemos. Eis Yaakov, Ish Uvesav Bo. Eis Yaakov, Ish Uvesav. They're separate families, but they are Eis Yaakov. They're subordinate to Yaakov Uvinam.